An alarm clock will cease to waken the person who ignores it repeatedly. Every human being has a built-in alarm, which is called conscience. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about clocks which run down. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. We've been talking for 2 days now about the vital subject of the unpardonable sin. We found out that some people have actually gone beyond the door of mercy where they no longer hear God speaking to them. They grieve the Holy Spirit. According to the words of Christ, they cannot be forgiven because they've resisted the Spirit to that degree. We found some examples of people who've done that very thing, and no doubt there are those living right now who have caused the Spirit of God to walk away from them. They've been left in the dark. They can never be forgiven simply because they refuse to confess and forsake their sins. Now today we promise to answer the question, how can we know if we've grieved away the Holy Spirit and committed the unpardonable sin? Well, if you're interested enough to ask the question, friend, you certainly have not grieved the Spirit of God away. Anyone who feels sin pressing down upon him, who wants to be delivered, who's concerned, has never grieved away the Spirit of God, because if you had done that, you would not care. You'd be lost, all right, but you wouldn't particularly care whether you were or not. It wouldn't make any difference, because only the agency of the Holy Spirit can make you care to be saved. So perhaps you're thinking, well, that's good. You had me worried. I believe I can go home now and just relax. Well, that's the very thing I pray God you'll never do, friends. Not if there's any sin in your life. Not if there's some light that you're not following. I hope you'll never relax and quit being concerned about it. No, indeed. Have you ever noticed how if you turn an alarm clock off in the morning and don't get up, time after time, that after a while, when you need that alarm clock, when you've got to get up, you have a very important engagement, then somehow, some way, that clock can run down and you never hear it ring? That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit of God. When the Spirit comes to you, if you'll listen always and do what the Spirit leads you to do, you'll always hear it ringing very clearly. But if you resist it, it's not long until you don't hear it anymore. The Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man," Genesis 6:3. And why not? Because men's sins were so evil that God could not forgive their sins. Is that the reason? Absolutely not. Simply because they became deaf to the work of the Holy Spirit. They became hardened in their resistance to what God wanted them to do. What good does it do to take an alarm clock and set it for a certain hour and put it in a dead person's room? It doesn't do a particle of good, does it? And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. When he comes and says something to you and you ignore him, and he says something else and you ignore that and you do it over and over again, the day finally comes when he says something to you and you don't hear it at all. Then the Lord says to the Holy Spirit, "Come along, leave him alone. There's no use staying there any longer. That person is deaf to the call." Now, when that happens, nobody can be absolutely sure. The poet put it this way, "There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. It is the boundary between God's patience and his wrath." Yes, there's a line too, friends, and we need to be very, very sure and certain that we keep our relationship with the Lord Jesus so warm and glowing that we don't slip away and go farther and farther until we cross that fatal line. Now I want to read you another text here from Hebrews 10. This is a scripture that has perplexed a great many people, and here's what it says. "For if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Verses 26 and 27. Now, a lot of people have read that and said, "My, that text frightens me. Does that mean that if I know a thing is wrong and I do it anyway, I'm lost?" No, it's not talking about that at all, friends. It's talking about presumptuous sin. It's a continuation in sin when you know better. Let me illustrate it by referring to the tithe, for example. We've used this before on our broadcast, but just suppose an individual were convinced that he ought to tithe, but he never has done it before. The tenth, of course, belongs to God, and this man is convinced of it. So he says, "All right, when I get my check next month, I'll tithe." But when he gets his check and he begins to figure up his bills, he says, "Oh, I blew out a tire this week. I don't believe I can begin this week. I'll start next week." And so when the next week comes, he takes his check and begins to figure again. And then he thinks, well, my little boy had to go to the doctor yesterday. I don't believe I can make it this week. And then the third week, there's another excuse. And the fourth, another. And the fifth and the sixth and on and on. And then finally, the day comes when the Holy Spirit will say, as he opens that envelope with a check in it, what about the tithe? And he won't even hear him. When that day comes, that man is in trouble, friends. He's become deaf to the Holy Spirit's call. Resisting the Spirit is dangerous because it leads to rejecting the Holy Spirit. And when you've rejected the Holy Spirit, you're lost. There's no hope for you at all. Once upon a time, there was an accident. A man had somehow run into a concrete abutment, and the top of his head was just sheared off. And you could see that man's brains, actually. He had been instantly killed in that moment of impact. It was really horrifying. And any time you see an accident where limbs are torn off or a person's almost killed, you'll be deeply impressed and feel that there's nothing worse that could happen to a person than that. But you know, friends, there's something far worse than that that can happen to an individual. It's far worse for the Holy Spirit of God to walk away from a man because he's deaf spiritually than it is to see a person actually torn apart right in front of your eyes. Because after this happens, there's no more hope. I want you to notice with me another text now, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Quench not the Spirit. Notice just four words, quench not the Spirit. That's interesting, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is a fire that burns in the heart and the conscience. And the apostle is saying here, be careful that you don't put it out. Sin is the water that puts it out, and when the fire goes out, you're lost. It doesn't take an awful lot of water, just a little stream constantly on it will soon extinguish it. Maybe it's a cigarette, the use of tobacco. It can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit just as sure as the fact remains that you're listening to this broadcast. Maybe it's Sabbath breaking, breaking the holy day of God, a part of the Ten Commandment law. That can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit completely. Maybe it's taking the holy money of the tithe that belongs to God. Beware, you can put out the fire by breaking any of the commandments of God. It could be something, of course, altogether different. Perhaps criticism, harsh judgment, fault-finding, temper tantrums, fornication. You know, some people excuse their temper and they say, well, Grandpa had one and Dad had one and so have I. But anger and temper can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, friends. We must work with God to overcome it or it will put out the fire. There are many other things. I could make the list extend right on down over the wall, even. Any of those things in our lives that we cherish and refuse to turn loose of can and will put out the fire of the Holy Spirit unless we let them go. And when the fire's out, that's it. That's all. And we can blame nobody but ourselves. In Acts chapter 7, there's a sermon by a great man of God, a martyr by the name of Stephen. He was the first Christian martyr, in fact. And there he was before the council. And he knew they were going to kill him. This had come to him already by revelation. And so he turned and preached a powerful sermon. Oh, I would have given anything, friends, to have heard that sermon. It must have been a stirring, gripping thing. I mean, it's stirring enough as you read it from the Bible, but from the lips of a dying man, it must have been very forceful indeed. And then this sermon, he told them how they were sinning against the Holy Spirit. This is the way he put it. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. In other words, he said to them, you knew what you ought to do, and you didn't do it. And that's the way they had sinned against the Holy Ghost. They kept on refusing to keep the commandments of God, the law of God. Now let's bring it right down to a point here, friends. Let's consider Sabbath keeping, for example. There's no scripture in all the book of God that points out that there's any other day holy than the seventh day Sabbath. It just isn't there. Thousands of dollars have been offered for such a scripture, but it can't be found. One day alone is holy, the seventh day of the week, the Bible says. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And yet so often people in the study of the Scriptures and in their seeking after Christ come along very well till they get up to that Sabbath keeping, and then they begin to stumble and say, well, I don't know about that. You see, friends, they begin to realize this is going to cost something. Why, it might mean the loss of friends. It might even mean the loss of a job, the loss of future security, the loss of many things. Yes, it's a big step, no doubt about that. And people will come up to it and say, I just can't do it. They can keep all the other commandments. They can refrain from stealing, refrain from lying, refrain from committing adultery. But the Sabbath commandment, it seems too hard. You know, we ought to study more in the book of John. It's one of the greatest books, if not the greatest in the Bible. Study John chapter 6 and chapter 9 and chapter 12. Those three chapters point out what it meant for a person in Christ's day to follow him. Oh, we're so great today in saying, oh, if I just lived back there in the days of Jesus, I would have followed him. I can't understand why they were so blind and rebellious and fearful back there. I would have been one of his disciples. But I wonder, friends, if we really would have. Let me tell you something. If you will not follow Christ now, neither would you have followed him back there when he was on this earth. Do you know what it meant for a person to become a follower of Jesus then? Why, friends, way back there, if you followed Jesus, it meant you lost your friends. You were ostracized from your family, boycotted in your business. You were disinherited even, simply put out of the church. In fact, they considered that you were dead. If people met you on the road, they wouldn't even speak to you. They wouldn't acknowledge your existence even. As far as they were concerned, you didn't exist any longer. You read it for yourself in John 9:22. And when people realized what it really meant, they began to back out. Oh, it was wonderful to follow him when he was casting out devils and healing and working miracles and preaching and things like he did in the Sermon on the Mount. But when he began to go further and the people had to stand up and be counted, they had to take a decided stand, and they saw it would really cost them something, they began to back up then. Oh, friends, listen, people are still looking for a cheap religion today. But there is no such thing as a cheap Christianity. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John 6:66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The same thing is true today. Many people will follow along to a certain point. And when they begin to turn, and then they begin to turn aside, they begin to look around for excuses. They begin to try to justify themselves in disobedience. Oh, this is the reason the great Ten Commandments of God are being broken in such a universal manner in these days. That's why young people are reluctant to keep those commandments, because it requires them to give up some of their selfish desires and some of their own ways. It's only because people want to have their own way that they refuse to follow Christ and be saved today. But I tell you today, friends, it does cost something to really be a Christian and to be Christ-like. For the Scripture says, in fact, Jesus made this statement, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. Luke 14:33. Now, friends, he meant exactly what he said. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.